Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Still like that there's a lot of good people doing good things for the right reasons there. We look at this battle against hunger and food insecurity in Montana. 1 in 10 of our neighbors and friends face some kind of food insecurity, 110,000 people. 1 in 6 of those are our children. How are we battling hunger? There's a lot of challenges to face with food insecurity as well. It happens on the local level. And that's what I'm so excited about here as we talk with, well, Gail Carlson of the Montana Food Bank Network, but Kaya Patton Fuselman with the Livingston Food Rescue Center, and Stephanie Kuchenka, hope I'm saying that right, director of the Custer County Food Bank. We're going to get a sense around the state of how hungry we are and what we're doing about it. We'll start in Missoula with the Montana Food Bank Network today on Voices. Oh, Montana. Good morning. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you're fed, you know, and I hope you don't have the kind of insecurity when it comes to food that we're talking about here today, but you very well may. It's more common, I think, than we understand when we look at some of those numbers. And it's another one of those areas where I think it's a gut punch to us. I think, in a lot of ways, if we focused on some of these problems, minus distractions, minus not focusing on them, I think we can do much more than we're doing. I think about, you know, suicide in this regard to where it's a gut punch, where we should be doing and can be doing a lot better. And I think battling hunger is one of those areas too. And so that's why it's really a joy to speak with Gail Carlson today as we welcome her to Voices of Montana. She is the CEO of the Montana Food Bank Network, and man, it's the state largest hunger relief nonprofit, and in touch with all these communities too, in a large way. Good morning, Gail. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. You know, you're in an industry where you rely on, grants and people, you know, the kindness of others to spread that kindness around. And I think there's got to be a lot of joy in that. But sometimes it's probably frustrating. As I'm sitting here thinking about hunger, I think that's something that if we put our minds to it, you know, the whole thing, like we can send a man to the moon, we can fix hunger. I think we can. What do you think? How are we doing this?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we always say is it would be our greatest achievement if we could work ourselves out of a job, if we were no longer needing food banks and food pantries and organizations like ourselves. So that is our ultimate goal. But in the meantime, we definitely appreciate the generosity of Montanans and other organizations and individuals across the United States that are very supportive of being able to help us to feed the neighbors that need. So we really do appreciate that. And if you, that's the spark of joy that we get out of that, in knowing that a child will have a meal this weekend, or a family can celebrate the holiday with this great turkey, just like everyone else does. So those are the sparks of joy moments that we thrive on.
Yeah. And it helps families more than I think people will understand too. And I find donating to a food bank is pretty common for a lot of people, and I'll do it, but I do it periodically. You know, I'm not a consistent donator to the hungry around Montana. Do you find that's the case for a lot of people? They'll give at certain times, food drives, but trying to get them to be more of a focused and engaged in this battle.
It is something that is really the holidays, of course, is when it seems to come up for everybody. And whether it's because it's something that's of the top of mind that they want to make sure personally that other families get to experience the holidays the same way that they do. But it is something that kind of ebbs and flows. There could be a crisis or something that's going on in that community, and community members begin to recognize that their neighbors are food insecure. So there is definitely some times when it really comes up, and we do have some donors, though, that really do appreciate that. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of individuals who are our steady supporters who were food insecure as children, or maybe went through a really rough time and got laid off, and now they're back working, and they are supporting of their local agencies. So it's a lot of stories behind these donors.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of those too, and because I appreciate that, and I think even a little bit goes a long ways when it comes to battling hunger here. Gail Carlson is with us with the Montana Food Bank Network, longtime CEO there, 340 partners statewide here, and that's a lot. We're going to check in with some of these partners around the state, but it's more than just anti-hunger. There's SNAP outreach, child nutrition programs, and this food distribution network. I talk to a lot of people, and maybe we'll mention them now, that have got the same kind of passion that you guys have for it, Gail, from Town Pump, Ford, the Producer Partnership, Matt and those folks there. Talk about, I want to get to the root causes of hunger, but let's talk about how they contribute and how big an impact it makes.
Absolutely. And I think once someone comes to that reality, and whether they experience it directly or they witness that experience directly, it all of a sudden strikes them as, this is just not appropriate. We should never, ever have anybody in our state that cannot find food, that cannot afford food. And for some people, that just really clicks. Matt Pearson, you mentioned Producer Partnership, was one of them. During COVID, he was absolutely appalled at all the livestock that was being destroyed when it could have been going into a more constructive purpose. That's how he developed his program, which has been an amazing contribution, not just to us, but schools and senior centers and other nonprofits across the state. So it's that kind of motivation, I guess I want to say, or just some sort of a reality that they have, that this is something that is just not an appropriate and an acceptable thing in our state.
Gail, what are the root causes? As much as we can do something, I know there's the economies behind it an awful lot. I think we have some social behaviors that also contribute to this. What are those root causes that we can identify that then we can point to solutions for?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we can, I guess, is as business owners and employers, make sure that our employees are making a living wage. And that's going to vary from, space to space in our state. So, for our organization, I find it totally unacceptable that our employees may be eligible for any public assistance programs. So we make sure that they are making a living wage for Missoula County. So it's those kinds of things that we can do that is basically foundational for that. We can also make sure that we have accessible food sources in all of our communities, because food access is also another barrier. Some of our rural communities have many, many miles that they have to go to get affordable, nutritious food. So they may have something smaller in their community, maybe 10, 15, 20 miles away, but it's another 50 to 100 miles to go to somewhere that has more affordable food. So that's just a challenge of the ruralness of Montana.
Do you guys have programs that specifically point to some of these solutions, like fat food access, I suppose, is one. I mean, if you've got more food, there's probably better access. But, in identifying those, can you craft solutions?
Absolutely. We came up with a program a few years ago because we were really concerned about, first of all, we took a look at some of the counties that were really high poverty, high food security, insecurity levels, and we wanted to figure out how we could help provide in those areas. And there just wasn't the resources there. There may have been a 4-H organization, a church, and a post office and a grocery store. There just isn't a whole lot there. So we created a program called Mail a Meal. And what we do is we focus on counties that have very low resources, and individuals can apply on a month-to-month basis to have a box of shelf-stable foods delivered to their doorstep. And then we also work with some organizations like senior centers to serve as a drop site location where we can ship pallets to, and they do the distribution from their location. So we do focus on those high need areas, low resources, those types of things, to be able to get them some consistent food.
You guys were, there's a lot of questions here, but a unique way of trying to battle hunger here is a campaign through the month of September as well. We noted Town Pump, and there's others, Global Ford dealers like Archie Cochran in Billings here. We're kicking in there. You had a pretty substantial amount, I think, a goal of $90,000. How did it all go this year?
Well, we are not done yet, mm-hmm. and actually we're probably going to keep it going for a little while longer because we're really having fun working with these teams. We are at $82,000 of our $90,000 goal. That's about 330,000 meals right now. So we're making progress on that, and we are working currently with a number of partners on this. It's basically a digital donation portal, or you can get a team together to raise funds for it. And a good example of this is AgWest Farm Credit has a Cat Grizz teams, and they're competing against each other amongst their employees for raising the most amount of funds for this. We are also working with the University of Montana students, and they have created a number of teams, one of which is the Missoula Children's Theater, and anybody who donates to that team gets a raffle to get two tickets to one of their performances. So a lot of teams are coming up with some pretty creative ways to be able to reach their goals.
Let's talk about nutrition as part of this, because, you know, we can produce all the bad food in the world, I guess, and that's not how you fight hunger, right?
No, it's not. And I think that's one of the things we emphasize and are very cautious of is it's not just handing out food. It's making sure that they have access, steady access to nutritious food. And so even the Mail-A-Meal box that I mentioned, we had that reviewed by a dietitian to make sure that we stayed with lower sodium, those types of healthy foods. It's all shelf stable. We can't help that because it is being mailed. But we try to make sure that what is in there is as close to nutritious as we can get. So that is definitely something that we take seriously, and we have a nutrition policy and what we are willing to accept and distribute.
What do you guys do? What's the Montana Food Bank Network do? Gail Carlson with us again, CEO of that. I mentioned a lot of partners around the state. Talk about the day in the life from somebody from Montana Food Bank Network.
Absolutely. Well, every day is a different day, and yeah. It's just, a lot of fun in that respect. But we have teams that work on different projects. So we are basically the statewide emergency food distribution center. It's the easiest way that I can explain it, in that we do the acquisition and distribution of food. Some of it comes through donations. Some of it we purchase using our donor dollars. And then we have our network of partners, 340 of them, that every 6 weeks get onto a purchasing portal that we have, and they shop. And they order all the food that they need for their pantries, for their food banks, for their senior centers for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And they do that ordering. It's everything from fresh produce to frozen foods to shelf-stable foods, everything across the board. And then we have a fleet of semis that go out and deliver all that food. So our drivers put in about 150,000 miles a year just delivering food all around to the partners that we work with. So that kind of cycle goes on and on, as well as a number of other programs where we have our backpack program, where we provide shelf-stable foods to children in schools to take home. We also have our school pantry program. We have a number of other programs that focus in certain areas just to make sure that kids and families and households and seniors all have access.
I know that you guys are funded from numerous sources. Mostly it's private, as I understand. The administration's trying to cut back on how much we're spending in this government. I'm not sure how that impacts the food bank network, but I believe it impacts your network partners in a lot of ways, too. Talk about what they're challenged with.
Well, our network partners, some of them do receive state and federal funding. Mm-hmm. We are 100% private donation supported, so we did not receive any federal funding. However, we do distribute commodity program through the state of Montana. So some of that did get cut, so we are trying to find funding that we can replace that food that will be lost through that program. But our agencies are really experiencing a significant increase in the number of visits they're seeing at their pantries. For an example, in July of 25 versus 24, our pantries saw over 20,000 more visits in 1 month. Not necessarily more new households, but more visits. So they're becoming far and far more reliant on our pantry partners.
Gosh, and I know that that's like the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. That does give you an indication of how we're doing economically. Where are they coming from? Where's this growth coming from?
Well, we are seeing a lot of individuals that have just pretty much reached the end of their affordability. You know, we all have experienced and we hear about the increase in housing costs and the increase in fuel and all of those things that will impact your household income. And they're just kind of reaching the tap out point of that. We've also had a lot of layoffs in our state as well because of the federal funding cuts, because of a lot of federal jobs that have been cut. So those individuals, until they can get back on their feet again, may be needing assistance. We do know that a lot of the families that come through our pantries are not there every single month, every month of the year. There are going to be ebbs and flows, seasonal workers. We have a lot of ranchers and farmers that are have seasonal workers, those types of things that are also going to need that assistance, but just for a short period of time.
And give me a sense, too, if there's somebody listening and they're just hesitant to reach out, or maybe I don't qualify. Or, I mean, they're going to have those questions. So how, what's the process? It's how easy is it? You know, give us a sense of what they can expect if they've not done this before.
Absolutely. You know, I just had a conversation with a young woman, obviously out in the public yesterday, who said, why is it so hard? And I think it was because they just don't understand the process and they're a little intimidated and scared by it. So I would suggest they go on our website at msbn.org, and there is a page there that'll tell you where all of the pantries are among, the, you know, in every county. So there's addresses, hours if we have them available, that kind of thing. And then just go and visit. I can tell you it's a very warm, friendly volunteers. The staff want you to be there. And so they're going to do everything they can to help support that process for you.
340 partner agencies statewide with the Montana Food Bank Network. That's most likely one in your neighborhood there. They got a goal right now through September, which is Hunger Action Month, by the way, to raise some $90,000. That's good for 360,000 meals. That's going to feed a lot of folk here. Gail Carlson is with us with the Montana Food Bank Network. She's the CEO there of this organization. Gail, how long have you been around? How long? I think it's like 25 years, isn't it, or more?
I've been in the food banking business for about 20 years, but here at this food bank, it's been for 12.
And then the Food Bank Network, though. I mean, I lived in Missoula for a lot of years, and it was always, I think, front and center. But now it's much more statewide.
It is, and we have definitely grown over the last, you know, 12 to 15 years. We used to be in 23 counties. We had partners. Now we're in all 56.
Yeah.
So it just continues to grow, and we really can't do it without that network of partnerships.
Let's go to the Custer County Food Bank, one of your partners there, 15 North 8th Street, Mile City. And Stephanie Kahinka joins us there. Stephanie directs those operations, and it is one of Eastern Montana's key hunger relief agencies. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. I'm so well. How are you?
Hanging in there. Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate that. Let's start with you know, give us sort of an update, a status. How's hunger in Custer County and Eastern Montana?
You know, I think we're kind of the hub in rural Eastern Montana, which doesn't sound like a lot to people probably in the western part of the state, but we're kind of where people come from, these smaller areas, for everything. They're shopping, they're doctoring, everything. And we're just seeing more need. We're seeing donations are down quite a bit, which I totally get. I think people are nervous about how far their own dollars are going to go. And so they're kind of pulling back just a little bit. But we're seeing clients coming in more often, maybe people who only came a couple times a year. We're seeing them a little more often because, as we all know, when we go to the grocery store, you've spent a couple hundred dollars before you even know it, and it's just getting too hard for our families, our seniors, our disabled population. And being in rural Eastern Montana, we don't have a lot of resources, so we're kind of stretched to help everybody that we help, but we're certainly doing our best.
And how many is that a month on a general basis?
So we're seeing consistently about 300 families. So that it comes in around 1,100 individuals every month. And then we do still have those few that come in every few months. Or we've got two great programs here at our food bank. And one is the monthly basket program, where we give you food that our intention, our hope, is to help you with like a week's worth of groceries. The other side of our facility is where we have a little store that you can shop for things that you need, that you prefer, And that's our store. It comes from local donations and then also our grocery rescue program, which is amazing. Albertsons and Walmart here every day. We go there, pick up stuff that they donate. And so we can kind of put a little store together that clients can come in. They can feel good about looking around, kind of perusing the aisles, seeing what works for them, what they've been looking for. It does change regularly, but we're seeing a lot of clients use our store more often, whereas they maybe just came once a month for the basket. Now they're coming once a week to supplement that basket with the shopping. So we're just seeing people have a little bit greater need with help with their monthly budgets and food.
So that puts an increased need on for you and the community as well. I mean, hopefully they're responding. What can they do? What can we all do? But share some ideas that you have to, like, maybe enhance fundraising or food raising as necessary.
Yeah. I do want to say we have such an insanely generous community. I always want to just put that out there because people are so kind and generous to us. I always feel like people think, oh, well, I can't give a lot, so I guess there's nothing I can do. Any small thing you can do. Right now we've got a lot of people who had gardens, you know, over the summer, and they're bringing in fresh produce, which is wonderful because it's not something we see a ton of. That's been really great for our clients to get that local fresh produce. One thing we're trying to start is maybe going to our local sale yard and getting it out there that we could really use some local beef or local pork. So if you're a rancher and you've got an old cow or maybe a sow or something that you wouldn't mind donating, we'd love to get that processed and get your local beef in our freezers here at our facility. We're also working on a program where we can have, we're in the beginning stages, but we'd like to get drop boxes at our grocery stores. So maybe when you're shopping, if you grab an extra peanut butter, grab an extra oatmeal or something that you could just throw in the box, and then it eliminates that extra step of having to stop by our facility during our business hours. It's an easy way to make a donation. And it doesn't have to be some big effort. It can just be one or two groceries when you're picking up your own. So those are a couple things we're working on.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. You talked about how generous your community is there as well. What other methods do you use to get awareness out?
We do a lot of social media. We try to do a lot of Facebook. We're really fortunate that the food bank here has been in operation since 2000. So we're a pretty big staple of our community. People, we're kind of tried and true. People know we're here. We're always here to serve our community. So a lot of it, I think, has just been just seeing the work we do. And we're pretty well known in the community. But we do social media posts. We try to have tables set up at different functions when we can, just to kind of get the awareness out there. But yeah, I would say in the last few years, social media presence has been the biggest way to get our name out there and our need.
I'm going to have you, pat some people on the back. All right. Stephanie Kahinka, again, with us, director of the Custer County Food Bank. That's in Miles City, 15th North 8th Street. When you think about who is fighting hunger in your community, who pops to mind?
We have so many great local churches who are always, every month, they're always collecting food, or the Presbyterian Church does their ladies who quilt. They do quilts and they donate them to us to give out. I shouldn't name individual churches because they're all so good to us, and I don't want to miss anybody. But the churches are doing great work. We've got some local business owners who are always checking in on us, seeing what we need, what can they do, and just some individuals who've just made it their mission to support our mission, and we're just so grateful. The schools, the elementary schools, and the junior high, they'll do different food drives throughout the year. The junior high does a cool one where they spend, I think, a month collecting just change.
Just got done speaking with Stephanie Kahinka out of Miles City. I want to thank our affiliates there on a KMTA 1050 AM and 95.3 FM. We're going to head over to Livingston. Want to thank our affiliate there, KPRK, 1340 AM. And thanks again for making us part of your Montana day. Gail Carlson is with us with the Montana Food Bank Network, the CEO there. And that's an organization. It's probably the state's largest hunger relief organization. It distributes literally millions of meals annually. And they have over 340 partners statewide. One of those partners joining us now as we welcome Kaya Patton Fusselman, Executive Director of the Livingston Food Resource Center. Good morning, Kaya. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for letting me join this morning.
Oh, thanks for coming on. And Gail, I'm going to go back up with you a little bit and talk about what you heard from Stephanie Kahinka just in that last segment, because I wanted her to take stage. She couldn't stay with us on throughout. What did you hear that sparked your attention? And then we'll throw that right to Kaya's way.
Absolutely. You know, Stephanie is basically reiterating what a number of our partners throughout the network have experienced with the increase in demand, but also the amazing increase in support from their communities, that their communities are recognizing that they have a lot of neighbors in need, and they're stepping forward and helping out in some very creative ways.
Nice. And Kaya, I'm sure that's one of the things that stands out to you, is that you've also seen this increased demand. But as we chatted just briefly and welcome you here, there's wealth disparity in Livingston that exists in a number of communities in Montana. It's becoming, I guess, more and more of a common problem. But you see it highlighted there, don't you?
We do, and it affects housing in particular. And as we see federal benefits continuing to get smaller and smaller and utilities getting more expensive, what we see, particularly in a county with as many seniors as we have in Park County, is that by the end of the month, people are having to choose between paying their bills with their limited incomes and buying food. And that is why a lot of people, families, full-time working individuals, seniors, people on disability are coming in more and more frequently.
Talk about that then. As Gail noted, an increased need, but an increased support too. Are you seeing that?
Yes, absolutely. We have a really wonderful, incredible community. We have over 180 volunteers. So our staff to volunteer ratio is 1 to 23. And it's the only reason that we are able to have 10 food access programs and a mental health counseling program, is because of the incredible volunteers and the churches and community partners that step up, not only to be hands-on with our programs, but donate food, or even just be there in the emotional support, which is a large part of it, which I know that anyone that has worked or volunteered at a food pantry can attest to. You're seeing people at some of their hardest times, and we're really lucky to get to witness that. We have a really incredible relationship with our clients. And as things get harder, it's harder and harder to watch people that you have relationships with go through what our clients are going through.
Yeah, and it's so valuable. I think that you note that emotional support there, because you have people coming in unable to or struggling with a basic need, and that just hits all your basic emotions. And asking for help it can always be tough. Kaya Patton Fusselman is with us here, again, Executive Director of the Livingston Food Resource Center, along with Gail Carlson with the Montana Food Bank Network. So you talked about 10 programs. I mean, you've got some support in your community because you're expanding. You've got mobile pantries. You've got rural meal deliveries. And then, as you noted, even mental health services. So, you know, talk about the Livingston Food Resource Center.
Yeah, so our primary program is the food pantry, and we have it set up like a little grocery store. So when you come in and check in with a staff member or volunteer, you go through with a grocery cart, and that is really intentional because above all things, when we support the nutrition choices of our clients and also the choice-based shopping and just the dignity of getting to come to a place where it's warm and friendly and we have music playing is really important to every program that we have. We also have a mobile pantry. So we're in Livingston, but we serve Park County. And so we go up into the Shields Valley, down into Paradise Valley once a month for each to deliver food to some rural neighbors. We also have the Pantry Supper Club program, which we have a commercial kitchen at the Food Resource Center, and we make over 12,000 meals a year. And those are frozen meals that get delivered once a week, and clients get 5 meals each. And that program in 2024 traveled over 4,000 miles to deliver meals throughout Park County. And then we have a mental health counseling program, and that is a particularly unique program that we offer. It's free mental health counseling, and then we also provide free system navigation programs with our counselor. So people can come in. Our counselor can be a legal proxy for people signing up. She can help people navigate the system. You know, each application is complicated and is difficult to navigate, and intentionally so. And so the fact that we can support people with mental health and with those services is really, really, really critical. And to note that in 2017, because of state budget cuts, Livingston lost its OPA office, among a few other, you know, social service offices. And so there's really this, like, gap that the Livingston Food Resource Center, HRDC, and some of our partners fill, because the closest OPA office is in Bozeman. And for clients that live down past Immigrant or up into the Shields Valley, that's not an easy day trip, particularly in the winter. And if they're already struggling, if they don't have a car that can get them there.
What is OPA?
It's the Office of Public Assistance. Yes, so that would be SNAP. Yep.
Thank you. Gail, I'm going to have you, and Kay, Kaya, you get to manage all that. You know, so congratulations and thanks. It sounds like there's a lot of things going on there. It's Kaya Patton Fusselman with the Livingston Food Resource Center. And Gail, I want to have you comment on that, because you guys are kind of a central base, right? And you've got 340 partners, but you don't tell Kaya to go out and get a mobile pantry unit. You don't tell her, you know, you need mental health services there. These folks are doing that on their own. I mean, that's a really cool relationship.
Absolutely. You know, we're here to support them, and we certainly cannot tell them what type of services are going to be the most impactful in their communities. They know their communities far better than we do. So the best thing we can do is stand back, let them do what they do best, and be there to provide them with any of the resources that they may need to conduct those programs. And in this case, it's food. You know, we can provide them with food. We can help them, lead them to training if that's what they need, for food safety training, whatever it may be. But we just stand back, support them, and let them do their work.
Gail, maybe talk about the dynamics here, because I got to imagine that Kaya runs a resource center that's going to be different than the Custer County Food Bank. Or last year when we did this, we talked to folks in Toole County, and I believe in Hill County as well. They're all going to be a bit uniquely different, aren't they?
Absolutely. So when they come on as a part of our network, we don't try to tell them what hours to be open or what areas they should serve or eligibility for their services. Again, those are things that they determine on their own. So we just make sure that they are handling the food safely so that they don't have any issues with that, and ensuring that they can do what they can do to serve their own communities.
Do you see centers as like the Livingston Center? I mean, that sounds, and congratulations, Kai, that's full service. Do you see much of that, Gail, across the state?
You know, not always. Yeah. I mean, we have it across the range of our partners are maybe open by volunteers only 2 hours a month in very small communities versus others that are open 5-6 days a week with full services like Livingston Food Resource Center does. So it is definitely varying from one community to another. The types of services that they have, the availability of food that they have, it's very, very different. And I think that's one of the fun things of working with them, is to see the creative ways that they come up with being able to serve their needs in their own community.
Yeah, Kaya, how did you manage all that? Not just mean manage it physically, but where do those ideas come from? And you know, do you turn it over to somebody and they run with the rural meal delivery program? You know, how do you create such a dynamic?
Yeah, we were very lucky to have the bones set by our founder. The Food Resource Center started 10 years ago. And then when I came on board, the staff that I've built has this tireless, wonderful energy. And we really, you know, try to model this idea of nothing for us without us. So listening to the community, doing surveys, looking at where the actual gaps in food access are, and what programs are needed, rather than us dictating what programs are needed, really, you know, providing and filling in those gaps. And I think that is really, really critical. And that's where a lot of the dignity and respect that we hold up as a core mission really shine through.
We're wrapping up here as we talk about ending hunger and battling hunger and taking action against hunger. Gail Carlson, CEO of the Montana Food Bank Network, and Kaya Patton Fusselman with the Livingston Food Resource Center. Really impressed, Kaya, with you know, all those programs. You talked about, you know, 10 different food access programs there. Is there anything else? We're kind of in our wrap up here. There was an A and B West grant that you had mentioned to me that I think is really worth talking about.
Yeah, this year we were awarded a 2-year grant from the A and B West Foundation. And talk about a foundation that really puts their money where their mission is. They put a lot of money into food security in Montana and Atlanta. We received a 2-year grant of general operating funds. And when I gave the tour to the staff from A and B West, a lot of what we talked about were these wraparound services. And, you know, we do have to buy over 60% of our food. And so it gives us some control over what kind of food we're buying. But with the steep increase, you know, we saw in 2021, we were seeing on average 434 individuals a month. And that's unique. So they could come more than once, but 434 unique individuals. And, you know, in 2024, we were seeing 948. So, wow. And then in 2025, 1,000, over 1,000. So we're continuing to see this increase and filling that gap in funding, particularly with federal TFAP cuts and seeing federal cuts come across where people are needing more and more food has been really, really critical. And the fact that we offer wraparound services like the free mental health counseling program is one of those things that shows A&B West that we're working to increase nutrition security and really like get to these, help people with the root causes of hunger, even though ending food insecurity and solving the housing crisis are a little bit out of our control. We do a very, very good job with our wonderful staff, wonderful volunteers, and wonderful board of serving our community in every single way we can.
Yeah, and I like what you said, and we're going to kind of run out of time, but quickly, you're focusing on nutrition because that is something you can control.
It is. And that's, we changed our mission last year, and that is very intentional. That's something that's a lever we can control. It's a way that we could do our best to keep people out of the hospital systems when we think about chronic disease that comes along with food insecurity and poverty. And we have a commercial kitchen which allows us to make food in-house, transform rescued produce or gleaned produce, and all of those things really tie into providing the best and most nutritious food that we can.
Yeah, that's how you do it. 12,000 meals in 2024 out of that kitchen. Congratulations on that. Gail, put a bow on this and maybe talk about the dignity, because for me, that has changed in our food banks. You know, client choice, and they can go around and pick from, you know, from the shelves and put it into their grocery cart. And I want to get people who have been hesitant maybe to reach out to you to allay those fears. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. You know, and I love the transformation that food banks have gone through over the years. It's gone from let's just get food in their pantries to let's give them the dignity of choice. Let's make sure that they can address their nutritional needs, their cultural relevant foods. So let them have the power as if they were walking into a supermarket. So I just love how that transition has gone through. And I would really encourage anyone to make that first step. And if you know someone who could use some food, take them there. Drive them to the nearest pantry. Introduce them to it. Walk through with them and get them comfortable, because I can tell you it's one of the most warmest, friendliest places you'll ever go to.
Really is a wonderful thing that humans do for other humans here. And so very encouraging. 1 in 10 Montanans struggle with food insecurity. 1 in 6 children do. You guys are front lines there and making a difference. So thank you so much. Gail Carlson and also Kaya Patton Fusselman. Thanks, really. And we'll be in touch again, okay?
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
That goes on, so contact the Montana Food Bank Network or your local pantry as well.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.